Got lots of water here. Good morning, everyone. Welcome this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, I want to preach the last message of 2023. That's why I thought I better dress up this morning. I'm going to get serious. It's good to have the St. Paul people here in Vancouver. I don't know where you're from now. Bless you, man. I appreciate you guys. So, today is the last day of the year, and I'm not sure how brave I am, but I'd sure like to hear one good testimony from last year. Is there someone who's just dying to testify of the goodness of God of this 2023? Yes, come. I knew you would be there. I was a little nervous inviting you, Nita, but I know God has done good things for you. Come. It's going to take her a while to get here, but or maybe take the microphone there. Yeah.
I'm Nita Dodd. In September, the first day of September, I got very sick. So sick that I went to the Missacolia 3 times and they turned me back. And when they turned me back the last time, the paramedic lady looked at me and she said, "I won't leave you here." And she called the Grey Nuns, and the Grey Nuns say, "Bring her in." And immediately, I'm talking about emergency surgery, immediately they took me in, and they examined me, and they said yes, and they operated on me. All right? I went home, and after 3 years, that didn't went well because the surgery there didn't went so good. And this time in September, I got more sick. Just about died. I think that's when the misericordia turned me back. Anyway, they took me over to the hospital in St. Albert. And again, they operated on me. Well, I just about died. I mean, I got every tube in me that you can think of, including blood transfusion. In my arms, in my side, in my buttocks, in my nose, in my nose going down. And I got tube everywhere, and I cry out to God when I wake up. I hallucinate and I cry out to God and I said, "This is not what you promised me. You promised me life and long life." And immediately things change. It's like when you cry out to God for your health and for anybody, He will hear you when you cry sincerely. And I didn't pray a long prayer. Just like Peter when he said, "Lord, save me." Basically, that's what I did. "Lord, this is not what you said." And things change. But I was so sick after that, it was a fright. The doctors thought I would die. Even they prayed for me. The doctors and the people down in the MRI office, they prayed for me too. They said, "Nada, we prayed for you." So I know I just about died. Anyway, here I am. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. I cannot give Him enough glory. Yes, I was sick, and it took me all this time, 2 months later, to come back to where I am today in here. Because I was weak as skin and bone. I'm little already and skin and bone to the point where I couldn't even stand. Could not even stand. But here I am. I'm standing today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Many, many people prayed for you, the church, and people visited and encouraged her. There's great testimonies around that. Amen. One more. You're dying to tell us the amazing goodness of God. B. You want to come here? Okay. You're hidden in the back corner over there.
I cannot rob this of God because I told the Lord. I say, "God, I'm new to this church and I've been away for a while. And I told God, "God, if there's a testimony you want me to testify, I pray that the church will be open to that." So I want to give God the glory. I've been away for a while because I'm not being well. 2023 has been a very rough physical year for me. But even in darkness, there's treasure. Even in divine interruption, God draws near. So I would say that this year has been one of my best year ever, because it's in my dark times I find God very, very close. And the divine interruption has been very good because it has been a place of rest. It has been a place where God meet me in my point of need. And it has also been a place where I see restoration, not only for my health, but even for my son, who has been jobless for almost 4 years. But God brought a turnaround. He has been right now in the job, and he has been confirmed in this job. So I just want to give God the glory. Amen. Even in hard times, God draws near. Amen. And he never forsakes us, he never abandons us. But there's always a whisper of his love. We can hear him. So may this year be a greater year for all of us, thriving in our walk and our journey with the Lord. I give God all the praise.
Amen. 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 So I'm going to ask Bodhi to come and pray for this church for this year. Haha, how's that? They get me into all kinds of conferences in Yorkton and marriage ceremonies in St. Paul. You know, you see these guys as quiet, little, humble guys. You should see when they celebrate their wedding anniversary. Oh, man, you'd need your earplugs in. No, bless. But I wanted a wise, senior, serious man of God to just bless the church and bless, just pray for a prosperous new year and whatever God lays on your heart. Bless you.
Isn't God good?
Yes.
Amen. I'd like each of us to just say one thing to God before we pray. Just say thank you. If thank there is you. Something to thank him for, say it. If there is nothing, just say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Just do that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank
we're
you
just
for
grateful.
Blessing and
we're
the
just
goodness
grateful.
Of God.
We're just grateful. We just express our gratitude to you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Mm. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. It's in your mercy that we are not consumed.
Jesus.
We thank you for helping us. We thank you for showing us mercy. We thank you for sustaining us. We thank you for carrying us in between your shoulders. We thank you that, God, you have not allowed us to flap our wings, but you've caused us grace to soar. We thank you. In the midst of challenges, you were there for us. And so, Father, as we close the end of this year, looking unto you as the eyes of the maiden looking unto her mistress. Jehovah, Heavenly Father, we thank you because you that has begun a good work in us are more than able to perfect it. Lord in heaven, we know that whatever is kept in your hands is secure. Therefore, we want to place our life, the year ahead of us, into your hands. Father, we know that we're secured in your hands. So, Father, we receive grace in all ramifications of each of our lives, in our family life, in our work life, in our ministry. Father, we receive help from above. The Bible says, my eyes are stayed on you and I am helped. Therefore, God, as we look unto you, O God, we receive help of you in the name of Jesus. Lord, and as a church, we will celebrate your faithfulness. That as families, we will celebrate your faithfulness. As individual, you will enhance our lives. We will celebrate your faithfulness. Father, we keep every child under the hold of your hands. That nobody will have any evil occurrence in the name of Jesus. Jehovah God, every single day of every single week, of every single month ahead of us in the year to come, we commend unto your mercy. The Lord of heaven, on the platform of your mercy and grace, we shall be kept in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for peace that will come and envelop us. Thank you for prosperity that will be our portion. Thank you for divine protection that we'll enjoy in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as we have testified today and as we have thanked you, we look up to the year ahead of us and years ahead of us. Father, oh God, the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Make it so. The Father, our path will shine brighter even as the new day comes in the new year. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for Enjoy Life Church. We thank you for every component of this ministry. We thank you for our leadership. We thank you for every department. We receive help. Unction to function. New anointing for ministry. Divine wisdom for leadership. Yes. Divine help and increase in the midst of us. Father, the shout of joy and rejoicing shall not depart from this tabernacle in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you because you will do more than we can ask. Therefore, we give you glory. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Let's shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Put your hands together for him and give him shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job. Thank you. Amen. If you were in Africa, you would definitely have to shout a lot louder than that. They would sing until you agreed. Amen. Wrong microphone. I got two mics going here. Then you know you're anointed. So as we end this year, you know, the temptation is to just preach this amazing year to come, back for more in 24. I don't know what you would use, but I appreciate that prayer. We're going to believe God for a great year. And no matter what last year was like, the good, the bad, the ugly, the blessings of God, we know God is faithful. And we're going to step into this year and trust him. So I was praying for this last service of 2023. And what God laid on my heart was to speak about a new year with Jesus. And whenever I talk about being with Jesus, I have to talk about his church. You know my story. I am a church man. I am committed to local church. And the mystery of the invisible worldwide, the universal church, the body of Christ worldwide, and what he's doing around the world. And it's amazing to hear the testimonies. I got family that live overseas in Africa, and you know some of them, and just to hear what God is doing around the world. And we've seen tastes of it here in Edmonton and here in the church, and lives changed. And it's good to see families here that God has touched and encouraged and strengthened this year. And I appreciate the testimonies. You know, until you've gone through fire, through tests like no other, I don't think you can really appreciate the faithfulness of God and what God means in your life. And I don't ask that God put us all through those fires just to appreciate God. But when you go through tests and you go through those lonely valleys and the shadow of death, you come out and you say, the Lord's my shepherd. I need nothing. I have need of nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. And you come to that place and you realize, okay, what matters in life? What really, really matters in life? And so I pray this coming year we'll all have a desire to serve God with a fresh passion and a fresh commitment to him. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read verse 15 to 19, but just keep that verse up there. That's my text this morning. But I'm going to read a couple verses behind it and in front of it. And I just want you to, I'm praying that God will give you some of the passion that he put in my heart this last couple of weeks, preparing this message and reading through this again and just hearing the Spirit of God speak. He says, I'm going to just back up to verse 15 if you're in your Bible. Otherwise, just listen. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? He's asking Peter, he's asking the disciple, who do you say that I am? And I think that's a good question for all of us here this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? And it's not my message, so I'm not going to go after that. But Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right answer. He got it. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. There's something going on there. I'll get to it, but there's something supernatural going on in Peter's life. And that's my prayer this morning. And I think Nicole was trying to encourage us with the prayer, and that there would be joy, that there would be something deep down in our souls that gets stirred today. As we end this year and as we look at the next year, that question, who do you say Jesus is? And the revelation that God the Father gave to Peter, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the one, and the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you got it. But here's my text. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, I'll just add it in there. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But that text, that verse, and I tell you the truth, I tell you, you are Peter, you are the little rock, you are the little stone, Peter. On this rock, not Peter, I'll share it in a minute, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. So I got 5 points and a poem, and I'm going to sing a song at the end, and we're going to end this year with victory. Hallelujah. You ready? So first of all, there's a building. Number one. See, there it is. The church. Amen? Jesus said, I am going to build my church. So first of all, there's a building. It's his church. So what is the church? And I've preached on it lots, and we've all talked about, you know, the called out ones and all these things, and it's true. But I want to emphasize just one thing. It's not the material building, the bricks and the stones. Amen? It's made up of men and women. You and me, we are the church. And Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. So he's busy building his church, and his church is made up of men and women. It's made up of you and me. It's not a particular church, visible church. You know, you have the mystery of the invisible worldwide church. That's the church I'm talking about this morning. And you have the visible church where when we come together, and Joy Life Church is one of those little glimmers of the church that Jesus is building around the world. We are part of it. But it's not necessarily that visible church or a visible church that he's talking about. The church he's talking about is far less impressive to the world. You know, I don't know what the world thinks right now. We visited a couple churches over the last year, conference and some different meetings, and there's some pretty impressive buildings and properties. And I have to admit, many times I get, you know, parking lot envy when I drive past some of them. We went to Lori's uncle's church out on the south end for a visit, and I'm like, oh, Lord, just give us their parking lot. It's like, anyhow, Lord, forgive me. That's not my sermon. But I'm not talking about that building. And the church that I'm talking about is far less impressive in the world's eyes. That's the church that Jesus is building, the real church. You know, it may not be important in man's eyes, even these visible churches may not be that impressive to men, but the invisible church is very less impressive to people if you hear how they talk about God and the things of God. But this church that I'm speaking about this morning, that Jesus is building, his church, is very important to God. In fact, you know, we've preached it many times, it's God's plan A and there is no plan B. And it is more important what you saved into than what you saved out of. All those messages for another day. But the church that Jesus is building, that he gave his life for, is very, very important to God. So it's made up of all the believers, all who are truly holy, all who are converted, all who have repented of sin and fled to Christ and have been made a new creation. God's elect. I got lists of stuff. All who have been washed in the blood of Christ, born again, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That is the church that Jesus is building. It's a building. It's his church. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the flock of Christ. It's called the bride of Christ. It's called the family of God. There's many terms that are used, but it's what he is building that he values, that he gave his life for. That's the church of Jesus. No visible church. None of us can say we are the true church. We are the only church. You know, if you look back in church history, everybody who claimed to be the church, well, they're not that impressive anymore. Many years ago, we went to Corinth. We were on one of those trips coming back from Tanzania, and the government of Greece or whoever they are. Yeah, it is Greece. See, I know my countries. They gave us 3 nights free if we flew with Olympian Airways. And so why not? Eh? So we ended up doing these tours around Greece. And one of the days, we ended up in Corinth. And it encouraged me a lot, because when we got to Corinth, there is nothing basically left of the old city or the church in Corinth that Paul preached to and wrote about. But they have found one stone, the first church of Corinth. That's what's left, one piece of broken rock. You say, well, why did that encourage you? Well, that was Paul's church, so I don't feel so bad. But the real church that Jesus is building is never going to end. And that, he's building his church, and it's worldwide. You know, the visible church, as I said, none of us can claim to be the church, but we are all part of that scaffolding, part of that framework of the real church of Jesus. His real church is in and among all of us. And so let's look at the second thing, is the builder. I'll say more about what I'm talking about in a second, but there's a builder, and of course it's Jesus himself. Amen? So it is his flock, and it is his family, and it is his bride, and it is his body. And he's the one who is knitting this thing together. That's what gives me hope, that what we are part of is eternal and lasting. You know, in the Bible, of course, the Trinity is involved. You have the Father chooses, the Son redeems, and the Holy Spirit sanctifies and every member and holds it all together. But if you are honest, it's called his church. Jesus is building his church. John 5 says he quickens it. Romans 1 says he calls each one. He washes us. He loves us. He gives us power to be the sons of God, John 1:12. He's the author and the finisher. He is the head. He is the life. He is the I am. So it is his church. Jesus is the one who's building his church. Jesus is the one who came and took on the form of man and lived the holy life and died and rose again for us to be born again, to be part of his church. And the reason I take hope from that is I thank God for our church. I thank God for the faithful folk here. We are thankful. And when I have parking lot envy, I thank God for what we have. But it's okay if we believe God for more. Amen? But I thank God for what he's doing, because Jesus is building the right way at the right time, and he knows what he's doing, even when we don't. I like this. You know, I was reading, you know, the living stones. There's so many pictures of Jesus' church, his temple, his body, his bride, all these things. But we are living stones, the Bible says, that he's putting into place. And the picture is there's very impressive stones, and then there's less impressive stones. But he chooses how he builds and who he builds with and where he places each one. And who's to say one stone is more important than the next? God knows what he's doing. God is building his church. And sometimes you sit back and you say, man, that's not exactly how I would have planned it. But God knows what he's doing at the right time and with the right people. He uses weak stones. He uses unworthy stones. He uses stones that, you know, anyhow. He uses stones from PEI even. Not mentioning any names. He chooses who he wants to build with, yeah, and how he wants to build. And he's a master builder. And he's, you know, what I want to say is he's never in a hurry. He's never impatient. I have to be honest. I know you are never impatient, but I get impatient. It's like, man, we could just this. And God is just building his church, brick by brick, stone by stone, adding what he sees. And he is this master builder. Amen? That's what gives me encouragement. We want everything done today. You know, the other point is we can preach. Paul says, one waters, one preaches, but it's God who brings the increase. God is the one who's busy bringing life and fruit out of his church and putting it into his church. We can water, but only God gives the increase. So, you know, we want to do what we can do with excellence. We want to do what we can do, encouraging people, you know, as part of this visible church, part of the scaffolding of the church. We encourage each other. We challenge each other. We rebuke each other. We strengthen each other for a purpose, to be part of something that's much greater than just us and just ourselves. And through all the storms and opposition, and, you know, you think, you just look back at history, man, the church has been attacked, the church has been hated, the church has been stormed, and I'll get to that message in a second, part of the message, but God is faithful, and He keeps on building. The world, as I said, cares less about the building of His church, but it's not dependent on man. The world, you know, if it was dependent on us, wow. I have a brother, Brian, you know him. I have a few in-laws that were leaders of churches, a lot of missionary friends, a lot of pastor friends. I call them friends. I don't know if I got any friends, but you know what I mean? It's like you know a lot of people, right? I know. That's another message for another day. Just pray for me. But many times sitting with all the guys from South Africa and Tanzania and my brother, anyhow, we keep going around to these stories. It's like, it's amazing that there's even a church left in the world. Like the stuff going on, and you know, Eric preached about false leaders a few Sunday nights ago, and we talk about stuff. And I don't know what you read and who you share things with, but I sit with leaders and I sit with church people and I sit with, and it's like the moral failures and the challenges and running away with the money and sleeping with the pianist and, you know, whatever. It's like, it's amazing that there's even a church left in the world. But I take courage to know that Jesus is building His church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, we have a building that Jesus is building. We are part of it. Amen? We have an amazing builder, Jesus Himself. That's what gives hope to us and keeps us going. The third thing is there's a foundation upon this rock. And I'll move along. The foundation is not Peter, despite what some church groups would claim. Jesus, if He was talking about Peter, he says, "You're Peter, but upon this rock I'll build my church." Because Peter got it. He understood. The rock He's talking about is Peter's confession of who Christ is. So that's what I want to get to. But He says, if He would have been talking about Peter, He would have said, "On you I would build my church." But He says, "You're Peter, but on this rock I'll build my church." And then a little later, He says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." So he knew what He was saying. If He was going to build on him, He would have said, "You," just like He said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." That's what He gives to us. But He said, "On this rock, on your testimony, Peter, you got it. Supernaturally, you understood what it means that Jesus is the Christ." That's the foundation that Jesus is building His church on. So what is it? It's the confession of who Jesus is. Amen? Revealed to Him by the Father. And this is where I'm going to start. This is where I want to wear the black suit this morning. Is you have to get that revelation. That is the foundation that this church is built on. His church, this church, any church. The church is everywhere in the world. There's some of the church in here this morning and some of it's not the church this morning. Only Jesus knows. But He's building this amazing church on the foundation, on the rock of the confession of who He is. It was the truth about Jesus. He's the Messiah. Jesus had come in the flesh. Jesus took upon Himself the sins of the world. This is the rock upon which He's building His church. And you have to get that to be part of His church. That's the foundation. It doesn't help you to sit in a church. It doesn't help you to say, "I'm a member of a church, a visible church." Yes, be part of it. Don't hear what I'm not saying. It's not one or the other. It's both. But you have to have that foundation in your life, knowing who Christ is. And you cannot have it until it's revealed to you by the Father. It's brought to us, faith is given to us by the work of the Holy Spirit, by Christ being born in us. We are regenerated. We are born again. Our eyes come open. We are alive to God. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. You got it, Peter. You got it. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where you go in the world. When you see somebody get it and their eyes come open, their spiritual eyes open, and they see Christ for who he is, that's what they build the church on. That's what we build our life on, is that testimony of who Jesus is. This is the one foundation every member of Christ's true church is joined to. Doesn't matter what the denomination or the name. You know, we're talking to lots of pastors about, you know, the fact that it's amazing there's even any church left. But, you know, our joke is, you know, we don't have a denomination. We have a fellowship. We have a tribe. We just mess around with the names, but it's the same thing. You know, you look at mission statements of churches. I read them all the time. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself, and, you know, love the world. Whatever. Like, we play with those mission statements, but they're all the same. But what makes the real church the real church, wherever it is, wherever it's found, is that it's built on the foundation of the testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Listen, you have to know him this morning. Your life has got to be built upon him. Any church, visible church, that's part of the invisible church, the worldwide church, that's the real church, has got to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and nothing else. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? There is no other hope. And that, you know, we can have all the songs, and we can dress up in our black suits, and we can come to a building that's nice and comfortable and warm, but if we do not have the foundation of who Jesus is, Lord and Savior, deliverer, redeemer, God himself, come in the flesh, that you know and serve, all of this, yeah, it's wonderful. I hope there's good fellowship and good things and friendly people and all the things that we want. But you got to have that foundation of knowing Jesus. So I'll ask you, what's your foundation? What's your foundation? Luke chapter 6, 46, laid a foundation on the rock. You know that story, the wise builder, the foolish and the wise, and I don't want to go there and I don't want to preach that, but he says he laid a foundation on the rock, Jesus, and the testimony of who he is. And that's what hit me as I started this message reading this week. It's just like, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't hear some good preaching. Even Jesus talking to Peter didn't reveal it to him. But the Father in heaven revealed it to him. And that's my prayer for you today. And as we end this year, and that's where I'm coming to, heading into the new year, that's the foundation that's going to sustain us. Christ, and being part of his church, being part of his called out ones, being part of his body, his family, who he is, and being knit in, whatever size of stone you are, big stone, little stone, huge stone, being knit in by Christ himself and built upon that foundation. Number four, I got two more. There's a problem. Amen? The gates of hell. It says, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell, there's a problem. And I love to preach, and we all love to read the scriptures that, you know, we are God's chosen, we are blessed, we are part of, you know, there's good things to experience. We preach the precious promises of God. That's trying to find the verse, 2 Peter 1:4. The peace that passes understanding, salvation, and grace. But I have to tell you, if I'm honest, you're going to have a battle. And it's a street fight from here to the time Jesus comes. You say, oh, glory, hallelujah. if you are naive enough to believe that you will get saved and have nothing but pure joy and happiness and bliss to heaven, then you haven't lived very long. We can, at the same time, talk about the precious promises of God and His faithfulness, and that's what we've been hearing this morning. And I love the testimonies that our sister shared this morning. In the midst of a battle, God is faithful, and God took us through, and God got us through. But don't deny that there's a battle. Don't try to fake it. Don't try to tell people, you know, if you serve Jesus, every problem is finished. It's a lie. Because actually, you put a target on your head when you give your life to Jesus. We are meant to understand the power of the prince of hell himself, even the devil. The history of the church from 6,000 years ago, you say, well, the church has only been around for two. But if you go right back to Abraham, right back to Moses in the burning bush, right back to the widow running into the desert to be protected by God and the enemy trying to swallow her up, all the images of the Old Testament that were pointing to Christ, pointing to the promises of God, from the beginning till today, the real church has been in conflict. There's been times of prosperity. The visible church, us, there's seasons when it's just like, woo, victory and prosperity. And, you know, we start to preach that. We think, you know, that's the gospel. The gospel and prosperity are the same thing. We kind of get lulled into this, well, I deserve all these blessings. You know, it's mine. And then reality hits. The devil hits. Life hits. Age hits. Gravity hits. Whatever. And you realize, no, we are in a battle for our life. And if I was young and I used to do it on a stage in Tanzania, and I won't do it here because I won't get up again, I used to demonstrate a street fight. And I won't even try. If 40 years ago I could do it, could almost do like a break dance. And I don't even imagine what it would look like now. It'd be like, oh, okay. But sometimes we think, okay, you know, the enemy, it's kind of like a movie fight, couple of punches. No, a street fight is gouging eyeballs and pulling your face, and it happens like it's chaos. That's the fight we're in. And sometimes you feel like it's like, what's going on? It's like, I can't deal with this stuff. You're just ducking one thing and then next thing's coming. But we have to realize we're in a battle. There's an enemy that hates you. The devil hates you. And he has a 40, 50, 60, 70-year plan to take you out. He's not impatient. He's got a long-term plan. And you think, oh, I'm doing okay. Me and God, we've got this thing. And he's waiting. And it's not to put fear into us, but it's to... Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail. What it means is there's an enemy, there's a gate that needs to be destroyed, that needs to be taken down. There's an enemy of our souls that are coming after us, and he hates us, and he's doing nothing but stealing and killing and destroying and lying, as his native language is, and all the things that Jesus preached about the devil. He's real. And I could tell you stories of 2023 where the devil was real in people's lives, and he's after your soul, but he's a liar. And as I said, the visible church will have times of prosperity and peace, but the true church, the church that Jesus is building, is in a conflict. The world hates it, the devil hates it, and so we shouldn't be surprised when we find our life built on the foundation of Christ, and we are solid in Him, and we are in His Word, and we realize that we have hope in God. We shouldn't be surprised when there's a battle. Every true believer will fight a never-ending battle. Amen? Can you shout hallelujah for that? Hallelujah. But last point, we win. Amen? The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We're told to count the cost. We're told there's a challenge, but there's a promise. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Yeah. I love that. Whatever the battle, whatever you're in. No matter the battle, all the powers of hell will never overthrow the church. Here's the truth. Jesus will have a testimony in this earth no matter what. You know, you think of all the governments, you think of all the philosophies, you think of all the new age. What I don't even want to start talking about the progressive and the woke and the messages of the world today. It's nothing new. Sin is, there's nothing new. The devil has nothing new to offer. Nothing is new. Excuse me. But the church will prevail. And when I got saved back in the 70s, our pastor at that time, he had a whole list, and he was very good at writing all these things down. You know, Stalin said this, and this one said this, and this one said the church would be done by this time, and this would be over. And that was the promise of communism and Marxism and all these things. Religion, the Bible would just fade away to nothing. And that's been the message of the devil since way back. But he's a liar. I would say the church is stronger today than ever. The Bible is held in more honor, not everywhere, but where it's honored. There's a hunger for the Word of God that's growing. Young people want to know the truth. Old people are hanging on to this truth like never before because there is nothing else. And so the gates of hell will not prevail. All the great kingdoms and empires of the world have come and gone. The church still stands. Amen? And it will. Jesus will never be without a witness. The Word of God will never pass away. This is true for the individual as well as for the church. You know, you think of guys like David, Peter. I could name a whole list of failures in the Bible, guys who failed, who messed up. But at the end of their life, they came through. All got home safe. Not prison, not persecution. Nothing will stop the truth and stop the church of Jesus. It's true for the individual. You know, many times we get tested. We get challenged. You go through times, battles, things that you're minds, you question. But I'm telling you, God is faithful to get us through. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So let me end this. I'm going to ask the band to come. I got a couple of questions for you. These screens are demon-possessed, I think. Just this one. And yeah, when they put songs up there and it goes green, we used to have a horse with two colors of eyes. There's something wrong there. Why is that? That's why I'm saying there's a devil, right? Why? All through practice, they play the songs, the guys practice. That screen stays nice and black and sweet. As soon as we start singing songs, it starts blinking and goes pie-shaped. I don't know what we used to have horses. There's a name for it when they had two different colored eyes. It's wrong. That's what it is. Now, let me come back to my conclusion. I don't know what song they're going to sing, but you can put it up there. And if that thing goes green, then you know there's a devil. We used to do the drama, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And Lori would do the sound, and I was the big director, and we had all these things. I dare you to turn green, you devil. We would practice all weekend. Everything's beautiful. On Sunday, you do three rehearsals. Sound, beautiful. We'd go away to pray, come back, put the CD in. It would spit it out 50 times. And I'm saying, hon, I got to go up there. You got to start this thing. You know, you got churches packed. Everybody's sweating. Actors are all... And I go up to him, and I start talking. By faith, heaven's gates and hell's flames. And by God's grace, that sound would come out of that thing. But there's so many demons involved in that stuff. The God of the air trying to kill us. Some kid in the back behind 600 curtains would kick a switch or a plug out, and you're just like, heaven's gone. Hell is real. What am I trying to say this morning? Jesus is going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So here's my question. Are you a member of the true church? I'm not talking about this church. I love this church. I want everybody to be here. I want everybody to come every week. I want us to serve one another, and I'll preach the local church until Jesus comes because I believe in it. There is no other plan to save the world. Jesus is building his church locally and internationally and globally and universally. He's building his church. Be part of it. Are you part of the true church that's built on the foundation? If not, join today. Be part of his church. Submit your life to Jesus. But if you are, and I believe that's us here this morning, if you are part of his church, then I'm asking you to, this year, as we close this year and we start the new year, join in. Give it everything you've got. Serve Christ. Live worthy of the church you belong to. Not this visible church, the church that you belong to. The church that Jesus is building. Be part of that. Be worthy of it. Live like citizens of heaven. Confess Christ before men. I want to challenge you this year, and myself, all of us, to be bold, to share a testimony of Christ. The world's not ashamed. You know, people are looking for causes all over the place these days. Guys, you know, I'm amazed. They will glue their hands, their bodies to concrete to where the police have to chisel a piece of the pavement out to get them off the road over the climate cult. Whatever. Some cause. They're looking for a cause. They will lay down their life. They will die for it, for animal rights. I don't know. I don't want to start naming things because I'll probably offend somebody. I don't care. Live for big things, but get a bigger vision than those. Live for the church that Jesus is building. Be part of what he's doing in the world today. Confess Christ. Be bold. Look to his coming. And this is my prayer, and Bode prayed it already, but may this coming year be the most amazing year of doing the greatest exploits for God, to be the most generous, to be the most kind and sold out to Jesus' people, to testify, to be bold to testify of what we are part of. Because the world is dying in need of Jesus. They need a church that will stand up and speak the truth and speak love and be the church of Jesus. Not compromised, not fake, not worn down, mamby-pamby, whatever words you want to use. But the church that's bold in Christ. And Peter, man, I would love to have Jesus say that about you and me today. You got it. You understood this. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Lenny's preaching didn't get this into your soul this morning. The Father revealed that to you. Only the Father can reveal the real, genuine Christ to each of us. And so as we start this new year, what's your plan? Where's your heart? My challenge is, let's serve Jesus. Make a choice. Make a choice. I'm gonna be the most generous person I can be this year. I don't know what word speaks to you. Generous, kind, loving, committed, holy. What? Only God can reveal that to you. You say, I'm gonna serve God this year. You know, I remember what I preached last year. I know you don't remember nothing. You remember some things. That's okay. But last year I was talking about that one word. I don't know if you remember, but just ask God for one word that'll describe your year. Don't tell anybody. And so this year is over now. And you want to know what my word was? I'm scared to say it. Positive. I don't look at my wife. I'll say it over here boldly. Just let me be positive. So what's God speaking to you for this coming year? If you could put it in one word, one scripture, one line, may he speak that to you today. May he bring that revelation of Jesus fresh to you. What it means to walk with him, to be part of his church, the real church of Jesus. Amen. And so Bode forced you to say hallelujah. He forced you to thank God. I appreciate that. You bunch of wimps. If we were singing in Africa, I should get Nicole to sing some of those songs. You would, Jesus! If you don't say that 7,000 times, you're worthless. But I'm not trying to promote that necessarily. What I'm trying to say is, will you commit to Christ, to his church, for this coming year? Amen? Welcome, PJ. Oops, wrong one.